Okay, so we are in the middle of Chaf Amud Beis. We're at the part where it says Amar Avina. In the middle of the page, the last words in the line are Amar Avina. Got it? Okay. So we're jumping back into the discussion of what are those things that women are obligated to. We just had a whole discussion of different mitzvos, which women might be tiros from because they're Asi Shazman Grama. And we're continuing the discussion as it relates to Birchas HaMazon. So the Gemara picks up with the following question. Amar Le Ravina L'Rava. Ravina asks Rava the following question. Nashim B'Birchas HaMazon D'Oraisa O D'Rabbanan? Are women obligated to bench from the Torah or only mid'Rabbanan? That's the question. So first of all, you have to ask yourself, why would we think that benching would only be mid'Rabbanan? Not mitzvah Shazman Gramo. I mean, we know that, generally speaking, benching from bread is a mitzvah d'oraisa because of the house of a savasa v'erachta. So why would we think that women are pituros? Could be this Rosh Sachs speaking about, I don't know, we'll see. But the Rashi gives us one answer. So Rashi explains, if you look at the Diramasa Odurabanan, Rashi says, Dichsiv, because one of the things that we say in benching is from a pasuk that says, Al ha'aretz ha'tova shenasalach. We thank Hashem for the land which He gave us. V'ha'aretz, but the land of Israel, lo nitna l'nikevos lihichalik. The land of Israel was not given to women as part of the chalukah. Not that they have no right to be in the land. They do. But it means that when Yeshua split the land, when we decided, okay, how many people are in the tribe, and how we're going to divide up each tribe's portion, we counted how many males there were, and then they divided the land based on the number of males. They did not divide the land based on the number of males and females. Every Beis Av had a piece of the land in Israel and divided to, and you know, that was passed down as their family's Yerusha, their family's portion of the land of Israel. And if you want to say, oh, Yimishim b'no Slavcha, remember the daughters of Slavcha, they argued Moshe, we should be deserve a portion of the land. But their portion was Chelek Avihem. They were only arguing that we should get our father's portion. So Rashi is saying the reason you would think that women, I mean, if you want to say that women's obligation in benching is only Darbanan, it's because one of the things we say as part of the benching is, Al-Aretz says, Hova Shenasan Lach, and that is something they can't say because it wasn't given as a Yerusha to them. They were not part of that Chalukas Ha'aretz, that division of the land, in the time of Yeshua. So they can't say that. Tosos asked the following question of Rashi, very famous Tosos. Look at Tosos, Nashim Bibirchas HaMazon D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan. He says, he quotes, first he quotes Rashi. If you skip five lines down, Tosos says, V'tema. I got a problem with Rashi's explanation. Kohanim V'Levim Nami Tibai. You should ask the same thing about a Kohen and a Levi. Right? Shaharei Lo Nutlu Chelek Ba'aretz. My brother-in-law over here is a great guy, but he did not get a portion of the land. He's from the tribe of Levi. Right. The Levim and the Kohanim didn't get a portion in the land of Israel either when it was divided. So in Cain, so if that's the case, I mean, if we're going with this logic of Rashi, lo yotziu acher midei chavas and berchas mazon, should we say that, therefore, the Levim and Kohanim are not obligated on a Torah level to bench, and they cannot therefore be fulfilling the obligation of others in benching because they don't have a portion of the land? According to Rashi's logic, right, there's a big problem. So Tosfos therefore, based on that, offers a totally different explanation and says, El Yesh Lomar, the time of Mishum Dechsiv, Brischa Shechasam to the strain about Torah Slash the Ma'atani. Tosus quotes a different Pasuk in benching that the women have trouble with saying. Brischa Shechasam to the strain about Torah Slash the Ma'atani. Nashim listin hu lo bebris, hu lo betorah. Women are not obligated in Bris Mila, and they're not obligated in general Talmud Torah. So, therefore, they are not obligated in benching. Obviously, Kohanim Levim are obligated in Bris and Torah.
Could you say that somewhat of a mitzvah is my grandma not establishing it, but there is a time frame to make the bracha? Once you eat, you have to be a chalda shvada?
But we don't consider that usually to be a man grama. I mean, there might be limitations on the mitzvah based on time or location or things like that, but it's not time bound, meaning the obligation does not come because of time.
Right.
But mitzvah is man grama means that time triggers the mitzvah. There's no time that's just
the calendar or the clock.
And neither is applicable here. Yeah. So I don't think anyone says that's for that reason. Okay, so there's a lot to talk about this Rashi and Tosfos, which we'll leave for now. Maybe Rav Sacks will talk about it. There's a famous Rav Soloveitchik has a discussion from his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, explaining this Rashi and Tosfos. Okay, so we'll see. To be continued, perhaps. But nonetheless, we have two reasons why women might not be obligated in benching the Daraisa, either because of the pasuk of the fact they wouldn't include in the land, right? Aretz Tova Shenasan Lach, or perhaps because of the pasuk of like we just started. You didn't miss much. So we are on Chachma Beis. Amar Ravina. You see it from around there? Last word is online. Amar Ravina Rashi. We said Nashim Birchas Mazon Daraisa Darabanan. That's all we got so far. So are women obligated to bench from the Torah or only rabbinically? And we just explained why that might be a Thrashi and Tosfos. The Gemara asks, "Lamai Nafkamina, what's the difference whether women are obligated to Rabban and Daraisa? Right? I mean, what's the difference? They have to bench at the bench. Like, I don't care whether it's the rabbis told them or whether it's Daraisa, what's the difference?" So the Gemara gives a different answer, but our usual answer to whether something is Daraisa or Rabbanan, like why it matters, what's the usual knee-jerk answer?
Right,
when it's a suffix, right? Yeah, exactly. That was right. When you have a suffix and you're, I forgot whether I benched, so if you forgot whether you benched, not sure, if your obligation is from the Torah, well, then you bench again, because you have to make sure that you fulfilled the Torah obligation. If it's only Midrabanan, then generally we say that if it's something rabbinic and you're not sure if you did it, you don't have to. So that would be the more obvious answer between whether it's the rest or Rabbanan. The Gemara does not give that particular answer. Instead, gives a different answer. The Gemara says, "L'may nafkimina lafuki rab mide chovasan." Whether or not women are able to fulfill someone else's obligation in benching, meaning I can bench on your behalf. If I have to bench, you have to bench, and you can't bench for whatever reason, so I can bench for on your behalf. So the question is whether women could fulfill a man's obligation in benching. If the woman is I think it's, let's see, it says it outright. Here, the Gemara is going to say the distinction. E amris, if you say Doraisa, that women are obligated on a Torah level, Asi Doraisa, Mafik Doraisa, then the woman can fulfill the obligation of a man who's also obligated on a Torah level in his benching. And e amris derabanan. If you say that the women are only obligated mid derabanan in benching, havi she'ena mechayev bedavar. It's as if they're not obligated on the Torah level. Meaning, if they're only obligated on the rabbinic level, it's from the perspective of Torah, they didn't have to bench at all. And therefore, since they didn't have to bench, they cannot fulfill someone else's obligation in benching, because from at least the perspective of Torah, they weren't even obligated to bench. Okay, and here's the principle. Anyone who is not obligated in something, meaning they themselves don't have the obligation at this moment, they cannot fulfill someone else's obligation at that time. So the Gemara tries to ask, "My, what is the halacha?" Meaning, let's figure it out. Are women midaraisa or women midarabana? Let's see which one it is. The Gemara says, "Tashima." It quotes a brisa. "Be'emes amru." In truth, they said. Now, whenever the Gemara says "be'emes amru," it means this is the halacha. Some say it means that this was the halacha Moshe Mitzinai. This is a tradition from Moshe. But whenever they say be'emes amru, whatever they're about to say is no one debates it. It is tzak halacha. All agree to it. So be'emes amru, ben mivarch la'aviv, a son can bench for his father. Ve'eved mivarch la'rabo, a slave can bench for his master. Ve'ish mivarch la'ba'alo, and a woman can bench for a husband. In parentheses, right? Aval amru chacham, the rabbi said, but cursed be the man who cannot bench on his own and needs his wife and his child to bench for him, meaning that he's not learned to be able to say the benching on his own. So he's like, someone who never learned benching, didn't try to learn benching, and meanwhile, every time he has to bench, he says, "Hey, kid, you got to do it for me, because Pops doesn't know it," right? So it's not such a nice thing that we're talking about when a husband needs his wife or his son to bench for him. But nonetheless, this Brisa says they can fulfill his obligation. So e amris b'shaloma deraisa, if we say that women are obligated to bench from the Torah, so asi deraisa mafik deraisa, then I can understand that comes the obligation of the woman, which is on a Torah level, umafik deraisa, and can discharge the obligation of the husband, which is also on a Torah level, in benching. So el e amris derabanan, and if we say that the women's obligation in benching is only rabbinic, Asi Rabbanan and Mafik Daraisa, can it be possible that the woman's obligation, which is only means Rabbanan, fulfill her husband's obligation, which is Daraisa? Cannot. So it must be from this Braisa we learn that a woman is obligated on a Torah level to bench. Gemara says, wait a second. That can't be the explanation of this brisa, because l'tameich, according to your logic, that we're talking about a situation of benching on the Torah level, the brisa also said that the katan fulfills the obligation, the child can fulfill the obligation of his father. Now, I ask you a question. Katan bar chiyuvahu? Is a katan someone who's under the age of bar mitzvah? Are they obligated to bench?
No.
They might be obligated rabbinically as chinuch, but they're not obligated on a Torah level, medaraisa, so that would not be enough. So it can't be, meaning that what we're saying here is it cannot be that the explanation of this brisa is we're talking about that his father is obligated to bench on a Torah level, because then certainly his son could not fulfill his obligation of benching, and therefore we have to give a new interpretation to this brisa, what it's referring to. So therefore, what are we dealing with? A case, kigon, a situation where she'achol shirah d'rabbanan, where the father only ate an amount of food, an amount of bread, which would only obligate him to bench on the rabbinic level. What does that mean? So there are two levels of benching. We know that benching is a din d'oraisa. The obligation to bench is, in the pasuk, it says, v'achalta v'savata uverachta, right? You have to eat, you're going to be satiated, and you're going to bench. So the only time from the Torah you're obligated to bench is when you're satiated, when you eat kedei tzviya. What's kedei tzviya? About three beitzim, right? Three olive size volume of bread.
Egg size.
If you eat less than three egg size volumes of bread, you are only obligated on a rabbinic level to bench, not a Torah level. From the rabbis, which we'll see in a second the details about this, but Rashi quotes it, there's a machlokes from Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, that on the rabbinic level, a person benches as long as they've eaten either an olive size of bread, which is small, or a little bit larger, one egg size volume of bread. But they don't have to wait until they've eaten enough. If you eat one egg, you're not full. If you eat one olive, you're not full. But it's enough to bench with the Rabbanan. So what we're talking about in our brisa is that the father ate only an olive size or only an egg size, and so he's only obligated to bench with the Rabbanan. His wife is possibly only obligated with the Rabbanan. His son is only obligated with the Rabbanan. Perfect. They can be motzi him. They can fulfill his obligation to bench. That's the case. So therefore, the Gemara ends, the Asi Rabbanan and Masik Rabbanan. They're both on the same rabbinic level, right? This comes up many times also when you come home from Shabbos or you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush, right? So when you make Kiddush Friday night, so you have an obligation to make Kiddush on a Derech level. Your wife also has an obligation to make Kiddush on a Torah level because she's obligated in all the positive commandments of Shabbos, as you are. But since you were Mekadei Shabbos by davening in Shul, and maybe in perhaps even no, not usually through the Kiddush and Shul, but from the Davening and Shul. So you are right. Some people don't like the Kiddush and Shul. Different discussion. But you're making Kiddush for your wife. She's obligated on the Derech level. Maybe she should make Kiddush for you. So that's all discussion. The famous discussion in the postgame about you have to take a Shabbos or you say something to she, or she's davened herself or she says something to also fulfill her obligation on a Torah level, because then you're both obligated rabbinically to make Kiddush al kos on the wine specifically, not just through your davening. And then you could be fulfilling her obligation. But it's the same idea that is the principle in our Gemara. If you want to fulfill someone else's obligation in any mitzvah, you can often, as long as you're on the same level. You have to be obligated, number one, that's the first requirement. Number two, you have to be obligated on the same level as the person that you are fulfilling their obligation. Good. Okay. So the next part of the Gemara is a little drasha. We get a little agat in here. Darsh Rabbi Avira Zimnin Amar La Mishmeid Rabbi Ami. Some say it's said in the name of Ami. V'Zimnin Amar La Mishmeid Rabbi Asi, and sometimes it's said in the name of Asi. Amar Malchei Asharis Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The angels in heaven said to God, Ribbono Shel Olam, Kasu B'Sar Asecha, says in your Torah Asher Lo Yisafanim B'Lo Yikach Shochad. It says, you know, the judge is not supposed to give favoritism. He's not supposed to take any kind of bribes. V'Halo Ata Nosei Panim L'Yisrael. But you treat Bnei Yisrael differently than every other nation. You treat them very favorably. Deceive Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha, right? We say in the Brichas Kohen, and we say Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha. Hashem should give your favor to you. He should turn his face favorably to you. So how are you allowed to do that, Hashem? They're complaining. So Amr Lahem, Hashem turns back the angels and says, V'chi lo esafanim l'Yisrael. How could I not show favoritism to Israel? Kasati lahem b'Torah. I wrote in the Torah the following: Achalta v'savata v'rachta. They have to, you know, you eat, you satiate yourself, and you bench. But es Hashem l'kecha. Sorry, v'rachta Hashem l'kecha. You should bless Hashem. Behemadaktikim al atman, they were more strict upon themselves, ad kizayis ad kibetza, that they obligated themselves to bench, not when they were satiated, but even with only an olive size or even with only an egg size, they obligated themselves in their benching. So some say, different shots, and why is the quote ad kizayis ad kibetza, these two things. So some say, what's the idea here? That what was like so special what Chai Yisrael did? Remember, they have, normally when you eat, you have your meal, right? You have kidei sviya. No one just usually grabs their olives. So we're talking about a meal that they ate, but the normal meal is like three egg sizes. So what they did was they shared their three eggs with two other people so they could make a mezumin. So each one got only one kibetza, one egg size. Or the olive ratio, right, would be there's going to be 10 olive sizes, ken kizesim, inside this kidei sviya. So they would share their meal essentially with nine other people. So everyone only got a small olive size, but that way they're able to make a real, not just a mezumin, they were able to really say b'shem Hashem when they bench. That's the beautiful thing B'nai Yisrael did, that they share their food. Another thing that they mentioned on this, one other point, is, the fact that Hashem is showing us a certain favor, a certain favoritism. Why is that specifically from this fact that we went ahead and we bench, when we didn't have to, right? Why is that something that shows that Hashem should show us favoritism? So they say, because, when you go ahead and do something that is not under the letter of the law, right? You did something that is lifnim mishur sadin, above and beyond what you had to do, and Hashem, in return, mida keneged mida, will do the same to you. He will go ahead and act lifnim mishur sadin, outside the confines of law, right? If he's just a strict judge, he does what the rule says. But when you act with regard to Hashem beyond what the law requires, He will act with you favorably beyond what the law would have required. And furthermore, they say, by you going ahead and saying, Hashem, normally it would be fitting, it would be proper to thank you, especially when I'm satiated, when I'm full. I had a nice gazunta meal. I had a nice meal tonight. My son at Chill and Grill, we had a shawarma and the baguette. It was a big size. We got the small thing. He had, I got to keep up with him. He wanted the baguette. I'll get the baguette. So I'll bench. I'll get a nice. But B'nai Yisrael said, Hashem, I'm going to consider even the small little taste of an olive such an amazing thing. I want to bench the same way. So Hashem's going to say, when I'm judging you, you did some small things, little mitzvahs here and there, I'm going to consider them huge, which is going to tip the scale in your favor. Same exact idea. Okay, let's go fight this. So we're up to the Mishnah now. This Mishnah is going to take us for a little while about discussions of issues about Keri, a person who has a seminal mission. And the part here is actually a very interesting halachic discussion, which we're going to get into, about Hirhur Kedibur. The background is that a Baal Keri was a situation that the Ezra and his basin made a gzera that someone who was a Baal Keri, someone who had a seminal mission, that until they go to the mikvah, they are not allowed to learn Torah, and they are not allowed to say Kriya Shema, okay? So that was something that was not the case before, and is not the case nowadays, because the Rambam writes that even though Ezra made this takana, I guess it lasted for a certain time, or he tried to get it to catch on, it was the type of decree that Rov HaTzibur in Yechom Lamobo, that Klai Yisrael couldn't handle it. It was too difficult to go to the mikveh every single time you were with your wife. So, especially in those days, right? It could be freezing. So therefore, it didn't persist. So nowadays, this doesn't apply. But the Mishnah is dealing with the time where this was in effect. And the Mishnah says, "Bal keri mahar her belibo ve'ena mavarech." When it comes to benching, excuse me. Yeah, so when it comes to this is by Kriya Satora? Okay. No, this is Krishma. This is for Krishma. Two different things. One, he's not allowed to daven, not allowed to Krishma, and he's not allowed to learn Torah. So number one, the first thing is Balkari and Bahar Hair, he should go ahead and he should only think in his mind, right? He should only in his mind consider what he's going, saying like silently to himself, the Kriya Shema Belibo, Veinu Mevarech Lo Lefanev Lo Acharei. But he does not say at all, right? Even the Hirhur, he didn't say at all the brachos of Kriyat Shema before and after. Val Hamazon, when it comes to benching, so he makes the bracha lachareha. He goes ahead and he does bench after he eats because that is an obligation of Daraisa. The Ein Mevarach Lefana, but he does not make the bracha rishona when he eats the bread because that's only obligation of Darabanan. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Mevarach Lefneim V'Lacharim. Rabbi Yehuda says in both cases, you say the bracha was before and after. Okay, both. Okay, so the we're going to focus on the first part of this Mishnah, which says that a Baal Keri should be Maharher Belibo. He should just sort of silently say the Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara is going to wonder why is he doing this. I mean, the general normal thing to do is to say Kriyat Shema. The other option would be to not say anything. What is this idea of you're just being Mahir? You're just saying it silently. So Amar Ravina. So the Gemara says, Ravina explains, Zosomer is the fact that you are only in your mind saying it. Maharer, it must be here a Kedibur Dami. That when you think it in your mind, it's as if you said it. What does that mean? That you fulfill your obligation 100%. If you just think in your mind, the Kriyat Shema, you completely fulfill your obligation to say Kriyat Shema. The Isaka Daitach Lav Kedibur Dami, because if you would assume that when you're Maharher, it's not like Dibur, Lam Maharher, what's the purpose? Why bother? Why would the Baal Keri bother to Maharher? If he's not Yotze's obligation, it's not like saying it, so why would we even tell him to say Kriyat Shema in your own mind? Elamai must be here Kedibur Dami. Then it must be that we consider the hearer like Dibur, and he does fulfill his obligation. Meaning, the reason why we tell the Baal Keri to go ahead and be Maharher is because that is a valid way to fulfill his obligation to Kriyat Shema. And that was an obvious question. So Gemara says, wait a second, that's the case. If hearer equals Dibur, it's the same thing, then Yotze Tzotzot, you might as well say it. Meaning, if he's doing the same thing by thinking it in his mind, he's fulfilling his obligation, halachically it's the same as saying it, so what's the game we're playing? You might as well say it, Yotze Tzotzot. The Gemara answers, "K'eshecham b'Sinai." It's only parallel to what we find by Sinai. Rashi explains as follows: that Ezra went ahead, and he only limited the Baal Keri to things in terms of learning that was done like at Har Sinai. And at Har Sinai, Hashem didn't like mentally convey Torah to us; He spoke it. He spoke Torah to us, and we heard the Torah from Hashem. And therefore, it is like a spoken. It was a spoken transmission at Sinai, therefore only that which is spoken in Torah is that which Ezra's based and said you cannot do before you go to the mikvah. But if you only think in your mind, that the Baal Keri is allowed to do. Okay, that's fine. Even though, halachically, he's fulfilling his obligation in Kriyat Shema just by thinking about it. Okay. Rav Chista says, here lav kedibur dami. Rav Chista explains that here who is not kedibur. So that would mean you're not your obligation. You're not fulfilling his obligation to say Kriyat Shema. The Yisaka Daita Chira Kedibur Dami, because if you think that Hira is Kedibur, he has the opposite logic, Yotze Bisvasov, he should have said it out loud. He doesn't hold that. He believes Ezra's Zera was not limited only to speech. It was limited to anything where you would be considered verbalizing something, even halachically. Elamai Hira Lav Kedibur, must be that Hira is not Kedibur. Hira, you do not fulfill your obligation because it's not like you're talking. Well, the Gemara then asks, well, then Lama Mahara, what's the point of the Mahara? I mean, if you're saying that you want to fulfill your obligation to Kriyat Shema, you're obligated to Kriyat Shema, but you can't because you're a Baal Keri. And we tell you to be Mahara, but that does nothing, accomplishes nothing. So why do it? Lama Mahara. So the Gemara answers, Amar of Elazar, Kidei Shelo Yu Kol Olam Oskim Bo, meaning you're like in the Minyan, you're the Baal Keri, and everyone is saying Kriyat Shema, the whole world, and Hu Yoshev Batal, and you're sitting there doing nothing. That's not right. That's not right. So we want you to do something while everyone else is saying Kriyat Shema. So rather than just sit there on a bump on a log, you'll say it in your mind, even though you're not fulfilling your obligation. So Mar says, wait a second. If we just want you to do something, the v'nigas pikachinah, say something, learn something else. And they quote, there's other things that Baal Keri is allowed to learn. So why specifically say Kriyat Shema? So the answer is, Amar of Rav Ad Bar Ahava, no, we want you to do something that's parallel, that's the same as what the rest of the congregation is doing. So the rest of the Tzibur is saying Kriyat Shema, so you too should say Kriyat Shema. The Gemara says, V'harei tila d'davar shet Tzibur oskim bo. Wait a second. Davening is also something that the Tzibur might be doing at that time that you're about to carry. V'tnanim, we learn in the Mishnah, Hayomei b'tfila. If a person, right, is standing in the middle of Shema Esrei, in the middle, V'nizkar shu bal keri. He remembers, oh my gosh, he remembers he's a bal keri and he should not be davening right now based on that gzera of Ezra. So lo yisok, don't stop in the middle of Shema Esrei, elo yikater. Rather, shorten each of your brachos to get through the Shema Esrei more quickly, because you really shouldn't be saying it. So we don't want you to stop it. I think it's, I assume it's where you don't say the intervening parts of the thing. You just say the brachos.
Just the last three of the first.
No, I think each bracha, you just say the actual bracha, and you'll say the preamble. You'll say the bracha. You'll say the. Let's see how it says it here.
Well,
Rashi just says
it's a bracha. In any way, shape, or form, now, right?
It says it applies to every bracha.
Now, in any way, shape, or form. No, but, right, but I'm wondering if there's another application, but it sounds like there's not.
You can't say here.
Maybe. That's what I was asking.
Oh, okay. Here it says you should have a shorter bracha.
Gotcha.
Presumably, you don't say you're not going to say the whole Atachon Adas. You're going to say Baruch Chonei Adas, right? That's where it's
suggested.
I assume.
Like the first few words.
Maybe. Yeah. No, it doesn't quite hear what the answer is. It has in the footnotes in the article. It doesn't have anything here about it. Okay. So the point is you have to be Makaser. But time of the Ischil. That's only a case where we said you were in the middle of your Shema Esrei, you had started already, and you realized they're only in the middle. Hallo Asil, but if you had not yet started your Shema Esrei, the implication is, well, Yasil, don't even start.
Wow.
Meaning, why shouldn't it say, well, no, even if you are not yet saying Shema Esrei, and you had realized you are a Balkari, you remembered, oh my gosh, yes, I'm a Balkari, you should still say it silently, because that's what the Tzibur is saying. So just don't like Kriya Shema, like, it should be the same, it should be the same exact thing. So my answer is, no, Shiny Tfila. The davening is different. Kriya Shema, we uniquely and specifically want you to do the same thing that Tzibur is doing, quietly, because it has Malchus Shemayim, it has the accepting upon yourself the yoke of heaven. It has a higher, let's say, level or an additional part to it that is special. Wait a second. We said that Abal Keri does say the benching. And because benching is a Doraisa, and benching does not have Kabbalah Omach Shemayim, so it seems like the need to have Kabbalah Omach Shemayim is not the key ingredient that allows the Balkari to say something. So again, we're left wondering what is it about Balkari that he says the Shema and he says this benching. So Vitnan Alhamazim Varach La'achra. We said in the Mishnah that the Balkari does bench. Ve'enim Varach La'fabi. Doesn't say the bracha. The bracha rishona, the ela kriyshma ubrichas amazin deraisa. The Gemara ends here with a famous line, right? The kriyshma, that's the mitzvah from the Torah. Benching, mitzvah from the Torah. Tfila, no, that's only rabbinic. Right? Yes. No, I think it's assumed. No, there's some. No, tira by benching also. Yeah, the same. It'd be the same. He should be maharer. And again, once again, the issue is. It's either because Hero's Kedibur, and therefore he's fulfilling his obligation, but in a way that was not assumed within the Gzera. The decree only includes speaking, like it was at Sinai. The other explanation is that, well, he's not fulfilling his obligation, but he's doing something like the people around him are doing. And we want him to do that when it's a Doraisa. When it's only the thing that he's doing Durabandan, we don't really care that he has to
and
do
we
it.
Say there, we say that a Ezra had the ability to uproot a Doraisa, according to the second sheet.
Yeah, Sheval Tassa.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's continue. Amr Yehuda, Minayin Lebrichos Hamazon La'acharei Me'atorah. So how do we know that benching, right, after you eat, is from the Torah? Shenamar V'chalta V'savata V'rachta. Says in the Pasuk, right, you eat, you satiated, and you should bench. Should give a bracha to Hashem. Minayim, lebirchas haTorah lefaneh. How do we know that saying a bracha on learning Torah, before you learn Torah, is also min haTorah, is also saying that is obligated midaraisa. Shenamar, because it says in the Pasuk, kishem Hashem ekra, havu goda lelokeinu. When we say the name of Hashem, right, kishem Hashem ekra, when I say the name of Hashem, havu goda lelokeinu. We should give greatness to God. So I believe Rashi learns this the following way. Rashi learns, there's a debate about how to learn this this pasuk. Let me find the Rashi. Rashi explains. Ki shem Hashem ekra means I'm going to be mevarech the shem Hashem, havugod lokenu, and then you respond, right, by saying amen, and then that is the greatness of the learning afterwards. So this pasuk describes the bracha. The shem Hashem ekra refers to the bracha that we're going to say, the calling out of Hashem's name in the form of a bracha before we learn. So I'm going to say the bracha, you're going to answer amen, and then we're going to learn. That's what the translation of Rashi is in this pasuk. The other explanation for this, the way this pasuk gets to be understood, I don't remember if it's Tosos. Which one they're showing explained like this. Oh, I remember it. It's the Marsha. The Marsha explains, not the Marsha, one of the Achronim explains, Kishem Hashem Ekra means when I call out the name of Hashem in Torah, because the Torah has many names of Hashem, right? The Torah is the book of God. So when I speak the book of God, have a good locator. Before you do so, give greatness to God's name by making a bracha beforehand.
We do it tonight? We make a bracha before we start?
We made it in the morning. It counts, lasts the whole day. Yes. If you did it in the morning, here's a chance.
Okay. No, I didn't.
So, but yeah, we assume it covers the whole day. Each day you start again.
Should have that in mind, I guess.
Yeah. Well, which is why, right after you make that bracha in the morning, what do you do right away? You read psukim, you say a mishnah, and you say a brisa, right? Those are the three things. It's a septa, what is it? It's a gemara. It's a gemara. You say three things. So you learn right after you make that bracha in the morning to immediately fulfill that obligation. Exactly. Okay. So Amar Yochanan, Lamadnu birchas haTorah l'achareha. Birchas haTorah l'achareha. Min birchas hamazon, mikal v'chomer. So Rav Yochanan suggests, let's learn, okay, that we should say a bracha on learning Torah after we learn Torah from the fact that we bench, okay, after we eat, based on a kal v'chomer. Okay, and we're going to explain what that is in a second. U'birchas hamazon lifaneha, and we should also go ahead and make a bracha from the Torah before we eat, as learning it from Birchas HaTorah, which we also make a bracha before we learn. So benching should parallel learning, learning should parallel benching. Mikal v'chomer based on a kal v'chomer. So here we go. Let's see what that is. Birchas HaTorah, when it comes to bracha on Torah learning, la'achareha, after you learn, min Birchas HaMazon mikal v'chomer, let's learn from a kal v'chomer, from benching, Uma mazon, when it comes to after you eat, she'ein ta'on lefanecha lefanav. When you eat something, you're obligated from the Torah to bench afterwards, but you don't have to go ahead. It's not that serious. You don't have to say something beforehand from the Torah. So therefore, Torah, when it comes to learning Torah, she'tu'una lefanecha. Torah does need something before it, and din she'tu'una l'acharei certainly should need a bracha afterwards. Let's also learn that you should make a bracha rishona and from the Torah and learn from Birchas HaTorah, because Birchas HaTorah requires from the Torah a bracha beforehand. What's the logic? Uma Torah, when it comes to Torah, right, you're learning. Torah doesn't really, from the Torah, require anything after you learn. You don't have to say any bracha after you learn. It's not as serious. You can only say something beforehand. But you do have to make a bracha before you learn. Mazon, when it comes to eating, where you do have to go ahead, and you're obligated to bench after you eat. It's very serious there. After you finish what you did, you have to make a bracha. So certainly you should have to go ahead and make a bracha before. So that's Rav Yochanan's logic, that you should have to make a bracha rishona before you eat from the Torah. And you should have to go ahead and make a bracha after you learn, also from the Torah, based on its kal v'chomer. So the Gemara says, no, not so fast. Ikla mifrach. Can I ask the following question on your beautiful kal v'chomer? Umal l'mazmin shechein nehene. Wait a second. When it comes to eating, right, the reason why you're going to go ahead and make a nice bracha afterwards is shechein nehene. You went ahead and you satiated yourself. Unlike by Torah, where you don't, even if you don't enjoy the learning.
Never satiated
during Torah. Ah, maybe. Right. Oh, I like that. Okay. It doesn't say satiated. It says nehemeh. Okay, I got it. Umala Torah Shechein Chai Olam. Wait a second, but Torah is also more serious than eating, because Torah has a stronger obligation, because it gives you, grants you ever, eternal life. And we have a Mishnah which explicitly says that there is no bracha which a Balkari will say on his food they eat beforehand. Why? Because it must be rabbinic. If Rav Yochanan's Kavah Chomer's logic was correct, and if really the bracha Rishon and the bracha Achrona were both midoraisa, then a Balkari should have to say both the Hirur, not only the bracha Achrona, which is why our Mishnah says. The fact that Mishnah distinguishes one and the other must be because one is Doraisa, the one afterwards, the benching, but the bracha Rishon is only Midora. Should we stop here? Should we go? I don't think they're... I think we got two more minutes. 9 o'clock. Okay. Let's get a few more lines. Or actually, maybe we should... Actually, maybe we should stop here. Let's stop here and give a tax chance. Sorry. Okay. Sorry, we'll take your question, and we will pick up next week from the two dots on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph.